Professor Michael Korns, welcome to Microscopia.
Thank you.
In this interview, we are going to talk about the order of Tau, and we wanted to talk to ask you, what analytes does it affect and how?
The order of Tau, it can affect many analytes depending on how gross the contamination is. I mean, the idea of order of Tau is to prevent contamination from certain samples to another. If at its worst case, this can actually be pouring from one tube to another, which would obviously cause a dilution effect on other additives. But more specifically, we specifically see problems with analytes such as sodium and potassium, which occur in some tubes. The additive exists as a sodium potassium salt. So the obvious example is a potassium EDTA. If that gets into a routine gel tube that you want to analyze potassium in, if you've actually got an additive of potassium in there, you get really high potassium results. And the problem occurs when you get slight contamination, so you get a slightly raised potassium, causing believable results, which can then affect patient care. The other thing with things like potassium and sodium EDTA is the actual EDTA itself. Chelates, divalent metal ions such as zinc, calcium, magnesium, and this causes results for those analytes to be low. And they also can act as cofactors to other enzymes such as alkaline phosphatase. So you can get falsely low results in enzymes. So that, as you can see, the kind of potential for interference in assays due to using the wrong tube type or the wrong order of Tau resulting in contamination is potentially huge.
Why is some literature claiming that the order of Tau is a myth?
There have been quite a few studies, including a couple that I've done myself, where if you actually try and mimic incorrect order of Tau in a laboratory situation and bleed patients and bleed them deliberately in the wrong order, you actually you don't see any effect on analytes to analyte in the lab. Now, the drawback of this is when you set up a scientific experiment to do this, you have to use standard procedures. And obviously, when we're bleeding patients, we will follow the manufacturer's guidelines to the letter on how you actually take the samples. So there's a lot of evidence out there saying that if you do the phlebotomy procedure in the correct way, according to the manufacturer's instructions, there is actually no risk of contamination due to incorrect order of Tau. And we've proved this by actually measuring EDTA in samples before and after an EDTA tube's been taken. So papers that claim it's a myth, I have to agree with to some extent, because in ideal situations, there is minimal risk and there's no reason that you need to follow any order of Tau. However, it does occur. So, and in the real world, in certainly in emergent departments, the ability to follow manufacturer's instructions for phlebotomy is not always possible, and it's certainly not used. So order of Tau is still important.
And do you think the order of Tau is important, or can it be ignored?
My feeling is it's very important, and I've done several studies. We started off doing a study just in our own lab where we actually looked to detect EDTA on all of our raised potassium results. And several of these would have been picked up anyway by our lab staff without having to measure EDTA. And this is, as I mentioned earlier, this is when you've got a gross contamination, it's been poured in, and you get potassium results that are just not compatible with life. However, we also have picked up many, many cases where the potassium is at a believable level, and we've released a result. But we then subsequently, when we've measured EDTA, found that it's present and found that the result is in fact false. And we actually went on from this to do this across multiple hospitals in my region. We did six different sites and used, which encompassed three different tube manufacturers. And we actually found that of these, 4% of raised potassiums were actually due to EDTA contamination. But more importantly, using the current lab staff judgment, we found that only 50% of the 4% of EDTA contaminated samples were actually picked up during normal working practice. So there's 2% of raised potassiums in our region are actually falsely raised and not reported or identified as falsely raised. So my simple answer is, I think, yes, it is still important, because the ideal phlebotomy procedure is not always followed. And there is evidence and studies that have observed this, showing that syringe use is quite high, And as I said, I've proved that ED contamination does occur, so order of draw does remain very important.
And how should laboratories detect and deal with incorrect order of draw to ensure correct patient results?
I think it's important that we continue to educate phlebotomists and anyone taking the blood that the order of draw is important, and it's important to publicise why and show them the evidence that it is having an effect. And I think at the core, as well as publicising this, it's something that's already practiced, and it's not difficult. It's no real hindrance to the phlebotomist to take the tubes in a certain order, because they're going to be taking the tubes anyway, so it doesn't really. It's got no effect on their time or any difficulty what order they take. It's very easy to do. And we should also, the lab itself should have measures to try and pick up these contaminations. The gold standard for potassium EDTA would be to actually measure EDTA ideally on all samples, but at a minimum on all raised potassiums or on all low calciums. Or if you haven't got a specific assay or you don't want to develop an assay to measure things, the actual contaminants like EDTA, you can look at surrogate markers. So, for instance, if you have a raised potassium, you could then further analyse calcium or zinc to see if they're actually low, and you can get and you can start to identify a pattern that looks like EDTA contamination, and then ask the clinician, please, can you repeat this? Because, yes, the potassium is high, but we're not convinced it's actually a genuinely high result. Please, can you repeat to confirm it? And by having these mechanisms in place, we can hopefully minimise any impact on the patient and mistreatment that might occur.
Is there any final comment you would like to make, Professor Korn?
My only final comment is I think that all of this work showing that the order of draw is a myth, it's all scientifically very good. But we really need to remember how practice is actually performed out on the wards and in the emergency departments. And a colleague of mine at a neighbouring hospital has shown that in an emergency department close to here, actually only 6% of blood samples in the emergency department are taken using the ideal situation, which is used in these studies showing that it doesn't exist. And in fact, 52% of emergency department samples are taken via syringe. And we can hypothesise that syringe needle contamination is the probable route that cross-contamination now happens. We're yet to prove that. But it's our current hypothesis. So I think it's very important to remember that, yes, scientific studies are very good, but they use a gold standard, standardised procedure. And we need to keep in mind what actually happens on the wards and in the emergency departments.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to have you in Microscopia.
Thank you. It's been great to talk to you.